This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Forever and ever.
So Jerry is a weasel today.
Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050. Making your drive home a lot more fun.
Final hour, Overdrive, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. A steady diet of the tragically hip all afternoon.
And the Cup final schedule has come out. First off, a little bit bizarre.
The 17 schedule, days?
That's stupid. And our boy Phil Pritchard, I wonder if he's getting some reps in delivering the cup to Jerry. Because if it happens again this year, I already think he's probably on thin ice.
I'm not sure he's in the rotation anymore.
You think he got fired because of last year?
I would think he had at least an evaluation period, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would.
You think he'd be on probation for a bit?
I think you have to have an evaluation.
He only works, like, that's his main gig.
That's the point, man. If you can't get the cup there on time, Jerry was fuming.
He signed on. Here's what he signed on for. Deliver the cup and then go party with it all summer long.
Do you think he, like, really takes it deep?
I've been to a few cup parties.
And Phil is there?
Phil wasn't there. It was the other guy. This guy had guitar. He was guitar guy.
Come on.
No, not Phil. The other guy. There's
another guy?
The cup is on a steady tour every night. Can you imagine the booze and everything flowing every night? The guy, it parties for 24 hours.
I don't think I'd want Phil Pritchard or the other guy around my cup party.
They have to be there.
That's what I don't like, though.
They have to chaperone the cup because we've heard the stories. The cup ending up at Vinny Pantera's pool because somebody throws it out the second window and it bounces off the cement into the pool.
I think you have the right to do that if you win it. If you win the Stanley Cup, you have the right to do whatever you have to do.
Then what you should do is create a replica, and then you get that day.
Maybe they
do. There is a replica.
Well, I know,
but
I mean,
who knows where the replica goes, but...
Well, what I'm saying is...
Because Messi and those guys would take it to the Rippers in St. Albert.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the girls would be dancing in it and all sorts of stuff.
Talk about bar play. Imagine showing up with a Stanley Cup in a Canadian city. Like, taking it anywhere would obviously be instant credibility.
Yes. You know, this was explained to me. I was sitting in a cab with the Stanley Cup because we were going to a function that it was appearing. And I said to the guy, I was with two guys, and the one guy was obviously the secondary holder of the cup guy.
Right.
I'm like, to my friend Scotty, I said, let me take a picture with the cup. And I went to put it over my head. He goes, no, you're not allowed to do that. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, you didn't win it. You're just allowed to pose with it. You're not allowed to put it over your head.
Oh, so they keep that whole thing in line.
Well, he said to me, do not put that over your head.
People, I've got a picture of one of my good friends who didn't win the cup. He just is a businessman from L.A., holding it over his head.
No kidding. I've seen David Ortiz put it over his head. I'm like, everybody.
Yeah, why wouldn't they allow you to do that?
I don't know. It irritated me, though.
That's what I'm saying, though. I wouldn't want that guy. They'd be so stiff. They'd be tattletaling. Oh, this guy had the cup, and he put food in it, and we told him he's not allowed to.
Well, I think they're allowed to do anything to it.
Maybe it was a joke?
Yeah, but wouldn't he at some point say, all right, dude, I was kidding around. Get your picture?
Yeah, you're right.
You would think, that's true.
He was playing the role, I think, is what was happening.
But the Stanley Cup final schedule is out. And
the dates are weird,
too. Like, it's not good. Like, let's call a spade here. It's a really bad schedule.
There's one Saturday night. So there's a Monday the 30th, the Wednesday June 1st, Saturday the 4th,
well,
then you've got a Monday, Thursday, Sunday, Wednesday.
There's a lot of 2 days off in between games, not to mention if this is written in stone and they start Monday, May 30th, if Tampa wins tonight and San Jose wins tomorrow, you've got 5 days off.
Before they get going.
Between the conference finals and the cup final. I mean, this is not the Super Bowl. You are not the National Football League. You cannot bank on this being amped up. You're going to lose people.
I agree.
You got to keep playing,
man.
You got to keep playing. Exactly. Like, especially now, maybe in this country, they lost everyone anyway. But in this market, the biggest hockey market in the world, it is 28 degrees and sunny outside. I can quickly forget about a Stanley Cup final. quickly. And I do this for a living.
We were talking about, before we came on, they got to find a way to give the Stanley Cup to somebody before the month of June starts.
I can't. June hockey drives me nuts because you have to find a way to condense the schedule.
No kidding.
Because as a player, you knew this too.
The training camps are so short now, there's no reason why the NHL can't fire up September 1.
Exactly. You knew this. As a player, you trained and you were ready to go September 1st.
Yeah.
Right after that long weekend, that's what you're expecting the body fat.
All of September
test.
Is just a training camp before training camp. So just fire it up September 1st.
And now they're starting on the 17th. And, well, this year is going to be a gong show because of the World Cup. So it's just what happens is it's longer and longer. I hate it. There should never be June hockey. And if anything, June 1st should be Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals.
I agree with you.
It should be written in stone, and you work backwards from then.
But we live in a world where TV dictates what's going to happen. And buildings factor in, too. But it's all about TV. And clearly NBC is the one that is making this determination. Because, you know, Sportsnet will go every second night. NBC is the one that obviously is sitting there and saying, okay, we want to avoid this if we can. We want to avoid that if we can. And that's the world we live in, so there's nothing you can really do about it. But this is the beauty of having the Raptors continuing to play, is that we don't have to concentrate on stupid stuff like this. We don't have to talk about Deflategate continuing in the NFL. I was so proud of us yesterday. I believe we deserve stickers on the back of our helmets for not mentioning the fact that Brady is actually going to continue to appeal the whole thing. I can't do it anymore.
You can't do it? You're done with that?
I can't. I can't talk Deflategate. It's the driest, blandest, most played-out story in pro sports. We hit every possible angle a year ago. And this is the beauty of the Raptors continuing to play. We can break down games.
Right.
We can talk about something in our own city. We got the Jays at Yankee Stadium tonight. Your boy R.A. Dickey is on the mound.
You better get it going.
He better grind it out tonight. Because the Yankees have won 5 in a row. The way the back end of their bullpen is playing right now.
I usually get torched at Yankee Stadium.
Well, that better change, R.A.
I don't think so, but I'll grind it.
I'm not sure what to expect out of him tonight. But it really is. It's an incredible vibe in the city right now.
I think my thoughts toward R.A. Dickey is whenever I see the highlight pack that Natasha and Kate do about Syndergaard, like when he goes up to the mound, he's just destroying teams.
It's tough.
It's sad.
Yeah.
It really is.
It's really tough. When you consider Marcus Stroman projects to be a top of the rotation guy, Aaron Sanchez projects to be a top of the rotation guy. You add Syndergaard in there. You have Syndergaard, Stroman, Sanchez as your 1-2-3.
Yeah.
All in pretty good shape.
That's kind of like that's like the Athletics of the mid 2000s. It's like the Braves potentially of the 90s. I mean, you're talking about three studs that you can build around because Noah Syndergaard, every 5 days, he goes out there and you're like, oh, he had 12 Ks and won again.
What is the Jerry's percentage that Gibby stays in a game this week?
I think he'll get through the whole week.
You think he through the whole week without getting the game?
I think he's basically said uncle on that.
I think he has to, don't you?
Well,
like, doesn't he
might have been told to.
The next time he goes up those steps, gingerly, may I add, and walks out to confront an umpire, don't you think at some point over the course of those 20, 25 steps, a voice in his head is going to say, don't do it.
Yeah, don't do it.
You can't get tossed again, Gibby. You've been out 3 times and suspended for 3 games.
Now,
you're a part-time manager right now.
I didn't have a problem for him sticking up for Donaldson because I think that's what a good manager does. You
go
out there and you get things done, and then you wink at the boys on the way off, say, I got your back. But, I mean, you know, I guess the brawl, I didn't have a problem with him, you know. Cost him 3 games, but I think you have to get your group headed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
That type of stuff. I don't know. Maybe it sparks the troops. You hope it does.
Well, you mentioned Noah Syndergaard and the New York Mets, and they had a big win last night because Bartolo Colon, who happens to be Syndergaard's mentor. This guy,
really?
Well, that's what Syndergaard said. I'm pretty sure Syndergaard is openly mocking Bartolo Colon in suggesting that he's his hero and he wouldn't be there without him. But Colon pitched a gem last night in Washington. They won 7-1. It's his 43rd birthday today. But those are distant topics, like way back into the rearview mirror, because of the performance he put on at the plate yesterday afternoon. He stepped up, I believe, three times. He did not even flinch. They could have rolled him up in a stretcher. They could
Hannibal
have gone
Lecter.
Hannibal Lecter. Like, lock him in, prop him up, stand there, take three pitches, and then roll him back into the dugout. And naturally, the New York media said, okay, something's up here. Like, this guy hit a home run a week and a half ago, and now all of a sudden he's not even attempting to swing. Like, doesn't even want to swing. The translator showed up post-game with Bartolo Colon, which I think the timing is quite intriguing, considering the secret Second Life story broke about a week ago. But this is why, apparently, Bartolo Colon decided, I'm going to take tonight off at the plate.
Yes, I decided that because I just thought it wasn't worth it to swing. You know, I swing at the balls pretty hard, and I thought not worth making my back worse. So I told their catcher from the beginning, just throw it right down the middle and not swinging.
You going to tell their catcher?
After that first at bat, and they threw me that changeup, and I was like, no, I promise you, throw it right down the middle. I'm not going to swing.
That is the epitome of laziness. He's rattled that he had to wait four pitches to walk back to the dugout.
And I still want to point out, he answered the second question immediately after it was asked in English. He was telling his answer to her.
Apparently he's from a very small village or something.
But what does that have to do with anything?
I don't even know. That's the answer.
He's from a remote village that...
Apparently him and Cespedes are just on their own programs, and they do whatever they want, and it's their world.
Well, that does happen a lot in baseball. You do have the Latin American players who stick to each other.
Individualistic.
Absolutely. But he's been in the United States for over 20 years. This guy's put on 100 pounds.
He knows what to order.
You'd think... He's gone through a couple of drive-thrus.
Exactly.
Like he got through a quarter pounder order at some point over the past 20 years. He's been in Cleveland, Oakland, Chicago, New York. I mean, I'm pretty sure they speak English in all of those cities.
I think he's been busted for roids.
He did. He got busted for roids.
So he can.
Bartolo was a PED user.
He knows
if you can believe it.
He knows deep dish. He knows certain words. Mm-hmm.
Been in Anaheim when that happened.
I think he was in Oakland at that point. He also won a Cy Young, I think, in 07.
He's a beard.
He's won a Cy Young. He's been clipped for roids. He's got two families on the
100
go.
100 sheets.
Well, and another tweet that came out today, I guess he was getting beaked badly down in Washington about that story about him having the double life in the second family.
Yeah.
And when the guy was chirping at him, he chirped back in English, perfect English apparently, and said, actually, I have three families.
It's the greatest.
That is quite a response.
I love this guy.
To a chirp. And I want just one time in my life, I want to have a translator. It's like having a caddy when you golf. Like, I just want one time to go to a country and have someone who translates whatever I want translated.
I had a translator in Russia, and if I did not get to him by 3 p.m., it didn't matter what language I was speaking, he would be so loaded that there was no language coming out of him.
So 3 p.m. every single day, the vodka was out.
Call Igor, and he is non-functioning. He'd come pick me up in a cab, in the back of a cab, and just be out to lunch. I love the guy. He was a very nice person, but he liked to have a time.
But he was your guy. He was your translator.
He was my guy. He was assigned to me, and I had a cab driver who was assigned to me as well. And I would call the guy. He would come pick me up and take me anywhere I wanted to go. I did have a vehicle, but it changed every couple days. I'd come out, my car would be gone, and a guy in a leather coat would hand me another set of keys. Say, here's your car now. All right, fine. I don't know where it is. You know, like.
You don't ask questions.
I didn't ask any questions.
And Igor, the translator, he's not going to ask either.
That guy was a beauty.
Because he knows what's up. We are fascinated, though, with translators. We have been for a long time. Because there was a clip that I think came out of the 2012 Euros. And I believe it was the Russian coach that was going at it with a media member at the Euros, I believe, in 2012. And the coach... The guy was like KGB. Like he was big, he was beefy.
Angry.
He was angry.
He was angry.
He was being peppered with questions that he was not prepared to answer. And he had a translator there who was trying to keep the peace with the media, but also translate the fact that this guy isn't having it anymore. Like, right. He's not in the mood to going back and forth with some pigeon with a media card. And I think this is safe to say this is our all-time favorite translator
for
clip.
For sure.
Like, nothing could ever possibly top this.
No.
So this happened about 4 years ago at the Euros, and it's beautiful.
If you are a man, just go with me, and I will tell a man conversation with you.
In other words, the coach wanted
to bury you in a hole outside.
He wanted to wring that media member's neck out in the back
that
alley.
That YouTube clip, I think they've taken it down since, but it was one of the greatest YouTube clips because that guy had the stone face, and when he was talking, he wasn't even talking to the interpreter. He was staring dead straight at the reporter asking the question, and the interpreter was terrified of the situation and was just trying to smooth it over.
He wanted no business of the coach. He didn't want to get on the coach's bad side. So he wanted to make sure that the guy knew, yeah, the coach wants to fight you.
Yes.
But I can't relay the swearing and the actual death threats that are coming out of this guy's yap. But also, I have to kind of represent the media here. So how do I not get fired at the same time?
We've got to figure out who that guy was, because
it was incredible.
I think he needs to have a bit on this show, because he was I remember he's gotten in trouble since and before that.
Right.
He's had some incidents.
Oh, yeah. That guy does not mess around. The coach doesn't mess around.
I think
the translator.
I think he was from Ukraine. I don't think he was from
Russia. I think you're right. I think it was Ukrainian.
He was Ukrainian.
And I think maybe the Ukraine was hosting in 2012.
Yeah, and it was like the Ukrainian soccer coach.
I think you're right.
Went ballistic.
He was not happy. He had the yellow and blue jumpsuit going.
And this guy looked like a squat jumper. Like he.
The mustache.
Yeah, thick neck.
Hair everywhere.
He was ready to go throw down.
Yeah, he was not.
We have to find him.
DC points out that Bartolo Colon started his career in Montreal. Think about the work Bartolo was doing.
I thought it was Cleveland.
No. I think you're maybe right. He was traded to Montreal. Started in Cleveland, traded in Montreal.
I wonder if Colon has a family up there.
All right. We'll maybe investigate if we can. All right, Bob McKenzie will join us in studio. We'll tee up game 6 tonight, a must-win for the Pens, and get Bob's thoughts on the idea of Matt Murray getting the start tonight for Pittsburgh. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on TSN 2.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. Do not forget, we have two pairs of tickets to give away to see the Marlies take on Hershey tomorrow night. Puck drop at 7:30, so we'll give those away at some point this hour. And Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider, is in studio. And the Hockey Insider Report on 1050 is courtesy of Sail, the Canadian outdoor superstore. Spring has sprung, and there's no better time or place to get camp ready than at Sail. Visit sail.ca for a store near you. Are you like us, Bob, listening to a lot of Tragically Hip today?
Yeah, no question about that. Woke up to really bad news, obviously. Really surprising, too. I mean, you know, I'm like anybody else. Get up in the morning, I check my phone, go into Twitter, and I was up pretty early this morning, too, which is unusual. And I saw a tweet from somebody, and it was the line people use a lot, you know, F cancer, with a link to a story at the Globe and Mail. So I knew somebody had cancer, and then clicked on the link and was really surprised to find out that it was Gord Downie. I know Gord a bit, and obviously, like so many other Canadians, feel a really strong connection to the Tragically Hip and everything else that goes with it. So thinking of him and his family and
Coming out of May 242, right? Like, that is just a weekend. They are the
anthem.
They're the soundtrack of long weekends in the country. I mean, it's just incredible. And I'm so glad they're going to get back out there and continue to play. And he's a grinder, man. He's going to keep grinding, and he'll get up there on stage. So we're certainly thinking of him and his family, like you said, Bob. And you wrote a piece up on TSN.ca, so you can read that whenever you get time. As for the hockey world, Matt Murray getting the start tonight. No one really knew where this was going to go or how it was going to play out. But we've been fascinated with the potential ripple effect, big picture. Like, now what happens with Marc-Andre Fleury? Where does he come into this whole conversation and his security in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, no question about it. And, I mean, we first started talking about this the minute there was the hint of expansion, and we saw the expansion draft rules where you can only protect one goaltender. And you knew that teams like Pittsburgh or Tampa, and those were two of the prime examples we talked about. They both got 21-year-old stud goalies that are expected to be number one in the National Hockey League, and they've both got outstanding veteran number ones who carry the mail but make a lot more money. And so, I mean, as soon as we saw the expansion rules, we thought this might come a little sooner than anybody anticipated. And based on what we've seen in these playoffs, if the Pittsburgh Penguins and or the Tampa Bay Lightning are looking for reassurances that their 21-year-old goalies can do the job, I guess, and again, small sample size, especially for Vasilevsky, but it would indicate that they can do the job. So if they can do the job and you can find a way to alleviate yourself of the veteran guy and his contract, and in the case of Fleury, full no move, full no trade. In the case of Bishop, a year away from unrestricted free agency. But Tampa, so many pressures, economic pressures to sign so many players, including Stamkos, that, you know, maybe those are moves that they not only should make but need to make.
What about the other series? If there's goaltending issues again with Elliott tomorrow night with St. Louis and San Jose, are they like the modern-day Philadelphia Flyers with those teams? They are always good enough to win, but yeah, they could never get their goaltending sorted out. And I think that's got to fall on management to some degree.
It will probably, if they lose this series, it may well, and especially if Elliott were not to play well in Game 6, it would get framed just exactly the way that you framed it. Now, I still think management would say, okay, maybe we can't come back with the exact same two guys, or maybe we can. But Jake Allen is still perceived as
the up and comer,
a very good young goaltender who, if you know, and again, I don't know that you could make any startling conclusion on Jake Allen's future with the St. Louis Blues based on two games. And that's all he's really had an opportunity to play, because he got injured down the stretch. Elliott took over, did a great job. Yeah. And Elliott was terrific in these playoffs for the most part. So I hear exactly what you're saying, Owen, and on one level, I think that'll be the narrative. But I still think Elliott's played pretty well in these playoffs. And if sometimes when a team loses, they just lose. Sometimes when a team loses, it doesn't necessarily mean that we got to get rid of our goaltenders, and we got to get rid of our core, and we got to change this, and we got to change that. Sometimes you just lose to a better team. You know, to your point, sometimes owners and general managers look at it and say, I got to make some changes.
And especially in St. Louis, right? Like, it's amazing when you consider the team they're playing. We've had these same conversations with both of them for like a decade now. When will San Jose get over the hump? When will St. Louis get over the hump? Well, one of them will get over the hump here because they have to.
Right.
And then the other team's going to be stuck holding the bag and having to explain why they don't have that missing piece, or whatever that final ingredient is for them to actually get to where they need to get to.
But to that point, I mean, if San Jose gets there and St. Louis doesn't, and everybody's writing the epitaph for how screwed up the Blues are and everything else, how do you rationalize the San Jose Sharks 2 years after losing to the Kings the way they lost, 1 year after replacing McClellan, stripping the captaincy off Joe Thornton, having very public spat between Doug Wilson and Joe Thornton, and everybody, and I mean universally, we all said it, everybody said it, well, the window's closed on this group.
Right.
Right.
You know, and well, here we are, and guess what? The window's one game away from being wide open for their first ever trip to the Stanley Cup Final. So, I guess we got to be, the lesson is you got to be really careful with these pronouncements of windows open, windows closed, and this group can never win. Now, mind you, there's still somebody who's quote-unquote underachieved for quite a few number of years, one of them is going to the Stanley Cup Final, and right now it's San Jose has got the leg up.
Well, I wonder how that sales pitch or that conversation happens at the end of a year. Like with a GM and an owner, if it's down in St. Louis, the GM's got to walk in there and explain what happened and why the owner should still have faith in their blueprint. Like, that would take stones to say, well, go look at San Jose. They did it. Like, would an owner embrace that and accept that? I'm not sure they would.
I don't know.
They're all different.
Yeah, they're all different, and I don't know. I believe it's Tom Stillman in St. Louis. I don't know him at all or well enough. But I do know that to this point in time, he's allowed Doug Armstrong to, you know, St. Louis is not one of those places where you get the feeling like they're making a whole bunch of rash decisions based on an owner pulling the general manager string. I look at the St. Louis Blues, it looks like a pretty solid organization. Doug Armstrong's in charge of all the hockey decisions. He's got a real good staff. He's got a real good group there, and everything flows from him. But you're right. You know, you get this close, and you get an owner, and he's emotional, and he's got visions of going to the Cup final, and then you don't get there, and it's like, okay, so now what are we going to do about this? And, you know, sometimes the answer is, well, maybe not a lot. Maybe we just need to stay the course and come back, and we'll you know, and that's not there's always change, but not seismic change.
Yeah, kind of like in Washington. I think Washington doesn't need too much nipping and tucking. It's a team that's pretty close. Another team that, to me, really took giant steps, but then now there's massive change in the offseason here, is the Florida Panthers. And it seems to me ownership has come in, and it's almost like they've got their own guys. Like, what are you getting out of Florida?
Yeah, I think that's basically it. The owners, and in fairness to the owners, they've had Dale Tallon there for a while. They've had the group in place, and they seem to let them do their job, and they seem to be doing a good job. And now all of a sudden, Dale Tallon gets, quote-unquote, a promotion. I'm not sure Dale Tallon's friends in the general manager community necessarily view it as a promotion.
Right.
But, you know, Dale's not rocking the boat, at least not now, and he's going to take the president's role, and they say that he's still got final authority on who they draft and trades and all those things. We'll see how that goes. Tom Rose, a general manager who doesn't have a lot of quote-unquote managerial experience. Eric Joyce, the assistant general manager. There is a real heavy emphasis in that organization now on analytics. And that led, I believe, to the departure of Scott Luce, who's done, I think, a real good job on the scouting front. And it's funny because I have a quick look here, but people talking about the job, and they said, well, you know, he's had, you know, a first overall pick. How could you go wrong with Ekblad? He had a second overall pick. How can you go wrong with Barkov? He had a third overall pick. How could you go wrong with Jonathan Huberdeau and Eric Goodbranson at number three overall? And that's all fair, except I also look at it and I'm like, okay, Vincent Trocheck, pretty good hockey player. They really like him. 64th overall, got him in the third round. Nick Bjugstad, 6'5" center, 19th overall in the first round.
He's really good.
Michael Matheson, who just played so well for Canada at the World Championships, I believe he was like 23rd overall in the first round. So I think Luce and his staff did a very good job of finding guys not just in the in the 1, 2, or 3 hole. And they do have, apparently, the analytics guys they've got do have a specific system in mind they want to employ for scouting and drafting. That's, and I don't think Luce was on board with that by all accounts. Anyways, here's the thing. I hate to be one of those guys that says that a new way is the wrong way and jump all over them before anybody's had a chance to do what they're doing. But I will tell you this. I know for an absolute fact that there are players on the Florida Panthers after the year that they've had, and they just saw assistant coach John Madden let go.
Yeah.
They saw Mike Dixon, who's in hockey ops, let go. They see their head scout get let go. They see the general manager promoted, kind of, to president. They see the equipment manager, who was very, very popular there, let go after a relatively successful season. They made the playoffs, and obviously ownership aspires to something greater than a first-round loss to the New York Islanders. But those players, to your point, Jamie, people in the hockey community are going, whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, look at all this change. Okay, let's give it a chance. And the players are like, whoa. Like, you know, this is surprising. This has caught a lot of them off guard as well. So, you have to give the new guys their opportunity to do what they're going to do. And Gerard Gallant's still the head coach, and I'm sure on many levels things aren't going to change, but probably on many levels they are.
How's a trainer get caught in the crossfire?
That's like, a good question.
Like where do analytics? How is the trainer? Like, yeah, we got to speak to the head trainer, please.
Well, you know what it is sometimes you feel threatened if guys are too intertwined from one side to the other. I know just from experience being on both sides there, you know, there were relationships that if they've become too strong, they...
What
they,
the hell does that mean, though?
I'll give
too
you an example.
Strong?
Well, I'll give you an example. Not the equipment guy, but the strength and conditioning guy.
Yeah.
Becomes too close to the players, and all of a sudden he's letting them slag a little bit on their conditioning or letting them slag on the weigh-ins and stuff like that.
I think what Jamie's saying is that the person who works for the team ends up being closer to and feeling more of an allegiance to the players than
than management,
ownership,
than to the guys that are signing his paycheck. I have no idea. No. I don't know any of this. I'm not there every day. I can't sit here and profess to be an expert on everything that happens in the Florida Panther organization, but the mere fact they've made as many changes on as many levels as they have suggests that ownership has a plan, and the plan's different than what the plan was before to some degree. And now we'll have to give this new plan and the new people some time to show what they've got.
I don't see how Gerard Gallant can possibly feel secure either. If you're the head coach and everyone else around you is either out or being moved around, yeah, you're still there, but you cannot feel that easy. You can't. I mean, new ownership.
A little shady. I mean, I know they did lose in the first round, but everything's trending.
They came out of nowhere.
Yeah, they won the division. Then it's like guys start getting chopped.
And that's ownership's right. I mean, they have the right to run their program whichever way they want. But it does feel as if, you know, if I'm Gerard Gallant, I'm not necessarily signing off on like a 5-year lease right now because I'm not convinced I'll be kicking around. Wanted to ask you about Auston Matthews potentially playing at the World Cup. And everyone's projecting what's going to happen with this under 24 team. I think you can make a lot of sense of it because I think from a marketing standpoint, he's an American kid. I think they're always going to be looking for American kids to be playing on that team. First overall, it's in Toronto. He's going to be a Maple Leaf more than likely. I think it would make a lot of sense. Do you think it would cause any problems? Do you think people in the hockey world would take issue with that?
No, I know that when the first group was originally named, that General Manager Pete Chiarelli of the 24 and under, or 20 and under,
whatever they're called,
whatever the North Team North America is called, that they said, you know, we're open to the possibility of Matthews being looked at, but probably kind of a long shot. That was the intimation at that time, and I think that was simply because they knew they had guys that they, you know, like Robbie Fabry, you know, and now having Jonathan Drouin,
right,
you know.
He's got to be in the mix.
Suddenly there's some guys in these playoffs, and you're like, oh, my. And Fabry, you could have, based on the season he had, you could have included him, I guess. But in any case, there are guys out there. But Auston Matthews demonstrated at the World Championship that he'd be a good fit on that. And so I think he's got to be certainly in the mix.
How do you think they'll do?
I don't know. That's a good question. They'll be full of you-know-what and vinegar. Young guys, you would think that the quote-unquote lack of experience would catch up to them in some of the games, but I'll tell you what.
I don't know. When you play in the NHL at that young of age, I don't think you're experienced.
Yeah, and they're you know, they're precocious talents. I mean, we watch what Fabry's doing here. You watch what Drouin's doing and Connor McDavid.
And to think those are supplemental guys behind McDavid and Eichel
and Monahan.
Yeah. You know what? And
I think they'll win some games.
They are, you know, there's some true superstars in there. And Jeff, you were one when you came out of junior. Like, not to be funny at all, but you know the mindset of a young gun, and his attitude is like, I'm not only as good as anybody, I might be better.
Yeah, it's true. It's
well,
scary.
You look at some of these guys. I mean, Ekblad's going to be on that team.
They're going to be good.
Morgan Rielly, Gostis Bear could be on the team. Matt Murray.
What's the goaltending?
Could be Murray. The guy could win a Stanley Cup.
But also Connor Hellebuck. Like they're going to have three good young goaltenders, John Gibson, Connor Hellebuck, and Matt Murray. Like they'll be fine.
But it's amazing how impactful young players have become. Started with the lockout in 04. From that moment forward, it's just been a steady stream of from Sidney Crosby right through to the Connor McDavid bookend, and if you want to call it Austin Matthews now. But these kids come into the league, and it's like they're not just players.
It's like they've been training to play in the NHL since they've been 10 years old.
And they have.
Well, they're worth.
Which is scary. And I think that's the reason why a lot of times at 30, their legs are just done.
Well, yeah, you know, it does increasingly seem like a young man's game, and it does seem like the diminishing return on a player starts a lot earlier than it used to.
Well, look at Mitch Marner again. I mean, we keep bringing the kid up. Yeah. He's got 9 points in two games at the Memorial Cup.
That London Knights are just like stormy. I don't know.
Have you ever seen anything like
that? Maybe it'll be one of these ones where they get into an elimination game and
they freeze
and they pop the bubble. But I don't think so. I mean, and they've just sliced and diced the Western Hockey League team so far.
Right. Yeah.
It wasn't even. You know, that's
embarrassing.
Against the Brandon Wheat Kings were like a really good team.
And 9-1.
And you know what? And it is the whole team. There's no question the Knights are a deep team. But make no mistake, the Marner kid is the straw that stirs the drink. And they'd be a much, I don't want to say easier team, but trying to control that team's offense, if you just took Mitch Marner out of the equation, would really, really level the playing field.
Right.
He's in another world right now.
Well, and I don't watch them play enough, and I certainly don't want to disparage Christian Dvorak, but I've seen enough highlights this year where he's tapping pucks in.
Yeah, but he is
Marner's,
a good player.
He's a very good player.
He's a good player, and I think he'll play in Arizona.
Right, but Marner's dancing is my point.
He's got a fun role right now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Tkachuk is really a good player, and he's probably going to go fourth or fifth overall in the draft, and he's going to be a real good NHLer for a long time. But Marner, I said it at the time that he was in his draft year. I think he's a special player. I could be wrong. We'll see. When we get to that next level, if he can do the same things there that he's doing here, and he's obviously, you know, got some physical things to overcome. But, I mean, they said the same stuff about Patrick Kane, and I can't sit here and tell you that he's going to be as good as Patrick Kane. But based on everything I've seen in junior hockey, he's got a chance.
Man, imagine his stardom in this city. He actually can replicate what Patrick Kane's been doing. Look out.
Yeah, and that's great. You know, and as I say, I hate even bringing it up, but I mean, that's what we do. He'll
shut down Tinder in Toronto.
Oh,
we compare players.
We always compare. And
it's crazy to compare a kid that's never played a game in the NHL to Patrick Kane any more than it was to compare Patrick Kane to Denny Savard. But he got that comparison.
It's worked out.
And in some cases, it does work out.
Let's go two for two here.
We'll see.
All right, Bob, good seeing you. We'll check in again on Thursday.
Thanks, boys.
There he is, Bob McKenzie. And the Hockey Insider Report on 1050 was courtesy of Sail. Sail, the Canadian outdoor superstore. Find all the must-have gadgets and gear for camping season, from tents and backpacks to coolers and headlamps at Sail. All right, phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. The first two callers in to correctly tell us how old Bartolo Colon is. It's spelt wrong, so I'm throwing Steph under the bus here. How old is Bartolo Colon today? It's his birthday today. How old does he turn today? First two callers in at 416-870-1050. Win a pair of tickets to see the Marlies take on Hershey tomorrow night, Game 3 of the Calder Cup Eastern Conference Finals. We'll get to the three stars and our best bets brought to you by ProLine next.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan. Jays are in Yankee Stadium tonight. R.A. Dickey on the mound. They took 3 of 4 in Minnesota. They should be feeling all right. They had an off day yesterday. They got into New York Sunday afternoon. Probably put in work in Manhattan on Sunday night.
Oh, I would think so.
So playing guilty tonight. Playing real guilty tonight.
No worries. The baseball gods will help you out.
It's time to get rocking here. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on the Pens tonight.
Hang on a sec. How'd you do yesterday? Good?
I won, yeah.
All three you had right?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. You were 3 for 3 yesterday?
I've been on fire recently. I don't go Floyd Mayweather. I don't pat myself on the back.
You should.
Because one of these days I actually want to take $20 and do exactly what you say and see how it works out.
Okay, we could do that. We'll pool it together and we'll make something happen.
So you're
happen
on the
here.
Pens tonight.
I'm on the Pens tonight. I'm over the number in the Red Sox-Rockies game at Fenway tonight. And Washington, with Strasburg on the mound, gets back at the Mets after they got embarrassed last night. So I'm on the Nats over the New York Mets. Throw down 20 and it pays $69.20. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. Before you wager, get the latest odds, event info, and matchup stats on your phone. ProLine, get way into the game. Are you guys not on the Pens tonight? Are you guys thinking Tampa gets it done?
I kind of do.
I kind of do, too, but wow. I've been wrong so far in this playoff
so many times.
So I mean, Pittsburgh deserves it. I think, you know, everyone's made, to your point, to your point, Brian, earlier, everyone's made such a big deal about the goaltending situation. Sidney Crosby has to have
87's got to have himself a legendary night tonight. Yeah.
Speaking about goaltenders, what do you do if they do get to the finals and then old Benny Bish says, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go?
I think he'll get it back.
See, but that's... You know,
I think he will. Because he hasn't been out as long, right?
You're right.
We're going to talk about that tomorrow.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. You guys ready for the 3 stars presented by Spring Free Trampoline?
Yes.
Overdrive. 3 stars of the day.
Are we going Gord Downie across the board here?
That's not even a...
He wins everything today. Yeah.
The fact
guy.
That he is going to grit grind through a final tour. Hopefully it's not his final tour.
Right.
Hopefully we get a miracle here and Gord Downie can survive this
for a long time
and just keep fighting and keep getting out there.
Yes.
But that tour is going to be absolutely epic this summer.
I'm going to multiple venues.
I intend on doing the same thing. I've seen them play multiple times. They're a great live act. They just define Canadian music. And
agreed.
Gord Downie, the hip. We're thinking about him and 3 stars across the board for Gord Downie. The 3 stars was presented by Spring Free Trampoline, the world's safest trampoline, built to last all weather conditions. Visit springfree.ca or their fully stocked showroom.
In Markham.
In Markham. Find everything podcasted online, tsn1050.ca. Check us out on iTunes, and don't forget to PVR the show. If you can't watch it live, you can watch it later. We're out of here. We're back tomorrow at 4. We'll chat then.